The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's...
The chances of taking Wall Street back are down. Next to impossible. Good evening. Happy New Year, I guess. But to me, it's not more than just another day, another week, another hour in this thing we call life. Jeff Bennett here for the second hour of the National Intel Report, protecting your wealth. Amongst the things that are being discussed are, I believe, some 15 states whose minimum wage was increased today. I don't even know what it is. $15 an hour, $12 an hour. What's the difference? What difference does it make? You know, if you're lucky enough to be working a 40-hour week, you do the math. I don't have a calculator here. How much would your gross income be at the end of, let's say, a 50-week year? You know, considering the holidays off, paid vacations, things of that nature. You have no idea. We're working for the wrong companies. Every one of us. I am. I work for my own corporation, but so what? Are you kidding? I'd almost give thanks for minimum wage, but not really. Not when I realized that the largest employer in the nation is the federal government. Now, you think about this throughout the course of your working life. Because today, as Americans struggle just to make ends meet, federal government employees are taking home a minimum wage of $100,000 a year. Oh, but that's not it. After just a mere 3 years of employment, they get 2 months paid vacation. Our illustrious leader, Trump, is theoretically in charge of the federal government, but that doesn't mean he controls the fat cat federal bureau rats in the Democrat-dominated civil service, many of whom within the Beltway work every single day to undermine his policies, or attempted policies. He even ordered a pay raise for federal employees in the new year, although the increase is smaller than what had been scheduled had he not acted. Now, with a workforce of, get this, 2 million people, the U.S. government is one of the most generous employers around. They shell out more than $1 million a minute in pay and benefits to its employees for a total of $136 billion a year. That's just for fiscal 2016. That, according to the report titled Mapping the Swamp, a study of the administrative state. Of course, that study excludes 742,000 civilian employees at the Department of Defense, as well as the 1.3 million men and women on active duty. Now, think about this. A guy on active duty, a guy or a gal or a tranny or whatever, male, female, can't make up their mind, they, you know, they're out there in the middle of a war zone, many of them. They're not making 100 grand a year. they're damn sure not getting 2 weeks paid vacation a year or 2 months. Out of control federal pay, my friends, is driven by the unrestrained greed of government workers' unions that keeps upward pressure on wages, making the feds increasingly removed from the everyday American experience, of course. How many of you are out there still working a so-called 40-hour work week? How many of you are out there working a 50 or 52-hour work week because you're trying to juggle two part-time jobs, one making burgers at McDonald's and then delivering pizzas for Domino's after hours? As this nation plunges deeper and deeper in debt, governments at all levels find themselves unable to meet their obligations, and yet public employees continue to press their demands for unreasonable compensation and benefits. And all across the country, rapacious government unions are eating you and I alive, and they work feverishly to shape the political battlefield to their own advantage. All, of course, under the cover of a crusade for social justice. Now, instead of serving as a check on government power, government employee unions function as an unelected fourth brand of government, augmenting its power at taxpayer expense. All of which makes draining the Washington swamp especially difficult. Or as Ronald Reagan stated in 1983, "It's hard when you're up to your armpits in alligators to remember you came here to drain the swamp." Organization called Open the Books, and they found that over the previous 10 years, the number of federal employees earning $200,000 a year has jumped 165%, and that 406,960 employees earn $100,000 or more, and that prompted the group to label a $100,000 paycheck the federal government minimum wage. You realize that those nearly 407,000 people constitute about one out of every five federal workers. You know, it angers me. It angers me from the standpoint that next month I will have concluded 7 decades on this earth. Yeah, 7 decades. I never had a rat's chance in holy hell of making that kind of money. Maybe when I got out of the military on January the 7th of 1970. Yeah, how many years ago was that? You go figure that one out. Maybe I should have just stood in line instead of going out to check out unemployment. And, you know, I did that. Went in to pick up my first. So back in those days, you know, when you filed unemployment, you had to go down to the office every week to prove to them that you'd been out applying for work. They didn't care you'd just gotten out of Vietnam, that you'd been shot at, or you'd shot at somebody, or maybe you knocked some enemy combatant off his motorcycle with your swing-out spare tire under your three-quarter ton. You ever drove one, you know what I'm talking about. They didn't care that I'd spent 20 months flying over the jungles, the beaches, the mountains, the hills, picking up wounded combatants, enemy and friendly, getting them off to medical assistance, getting them off to hospitals, whatever the case may be. They didn't care about that. Did you apply for a job in at least three places? Because that was the requirement back in 1970. You couldn't just sit home online and fill out the paperwork and, you know, call and talk to Manny Rodriguez down at the local office. Out here in Arizona, that's liable to be who you're talking to. Or you might be talking to Consuelo Ramirez, or it doesn't make any difference who it was. The majority of them out here that are in the unemployment, the food stamp business, or EBT, or the ADC, or the health care, state-funded health care, in Arizona, the majority of them are Hispanic, and who do you think they're taking care of? I'm not trying to knock Hispanics. That's not the point. The point is, it's a rigged system, my friends. Veterans get screwed. Hard-working Americans, those who have paid the taxes that in one form or another have built this country, we get screwed. And the massive number of refugees, a bunch of whom got plopped in the middle of a place called Shelbyville, Tennessee, and the government's underwriting their welfare. Oh, yeah, don't kid yourself. Then you got the little anchor baby business. Don't get me started with that one. We'll never get into any economic conversation. You and I are paying for all of these things, and yet a government employee is getting $100,000 minimum wage. I should have gotten out of the military and gone and stood in line and it would have gone against my grain. Yeah, think about that one. What's going on in the markets today? Some really interesting things. Some amazing records were set today, particularly, I believe it was over at the NASDAQ. NASDAQ crested 7,000 today as the tech giants roared into 2018. NASDAQ Composite closed above 7,000 for the first time in history today after racing to a fresh 1,000-point milestone in just over 8 months. That's a pace not seen since the height of the technology boom. The NASDAQ has risen faster than other major U.S. indexes over the past year as investors, frustrated with low interest rates and tepid global growth, bet on the prospects of large tech companies like Apple, Google's parent, Alphabet Inc., and Microsoft, all of which are heavily weighted in the index. That's some spooky stuff, man. I mean, this is great. I suppose Trump will take he'll take credit for that. And, why not? Why not? Hey, is there anything I can take credit for? I don't know anymore. I'm not going down that path. Dow Jones Industrial up nearly 105 points today to close at 24,824. S&P 500 was up 22 and a quarter to close at almost 26.96. NASDAQ, we've just covered, they actually were up 103 today. They ended their session at 7,006.90. Global Dow was also up. They closed at 31.15 today. They're actually, Global Dow is 24 hours a day, so they're still running. They're at 31.1501. Oil, whoop, up 4 cents. We're over that $60 mark, friends. And the last time I was with you, I believe, was pushing, I don't know. Was I with you at all last week? I've been exceedingly ill. I'm still not doing well. I've got one horrible, horrible, horrible virus or a flu or a bad cold or something. I may be speaking too loudly. I've got to let my producer take care of that. I'm not hearing well in either one of my ears because they're blocked with crud. Hey, how long is it going to take for Americans to pay off their Christmas debt? Who cares? Probably long enough to start shopping for the next season. Some headlines clobbered by new state code. The blue states and the pundits are plotting their revenge. $80 oil and 9 other surprises that Byron Wine is bracing for in 2018. You know what? That would not surprise me. We've watched oil creep up in the high 40s, low 50s. Now we're above 60. I can see $80 oil coming again, and you know what that's going to cost you at the pump. Oh, yeah, we'll be getting pumped at the pump. Southwest Airlines is giving all their employees a $1,000 bonus. Of course, they're citing their tax overhaul. Yeah. These are the kind of headlines we look at. Of course, then you get the typical, how to potentially get a 30% return in 3 months with the January effect. Great. Don't you just love it? Cannabis-related stocks rally as marijuana sales go mainstream in California. Man, I'm going to reach the point I won't even take my granddaughter to California anymore. And you're going to be able to drive down the highway and you're going to get high. It's going to give new meaning to the term highway in California. Think about that one for a moment. Pretty three resolutions to transform your one-person business into a $1 million operation. Maybe I need to look at that one later tonight. What do you think, huh? How about you guys? Want to go into business with me? Come on, let's make some buckos. Let's see what the metals do today. Rhodium, flat. $1,545 an ounce. Last time we were together, rhodium was $45 lower than that. Palladium flat at $1,086. Platinum up a whopping dollar today at $943. Silver's had a good couple of days on the international market, currently standing at $17.17. And gold in the after hours up $3 at $1,320.10. I've got a gentleman out there that I'd spoken with some weeks ago that came to me with a tentative commitment to spend about $35,000 in gold and silver, mostly gold. Happens to be a farmer. You can't say he's a farmer. He's a rancher. And he was just so concerned it was going to keep going down, down, down. He did nothing. Well, my friend, if you're out there, there's still good buys out there, but you should have jumped on it 3 weeks ago, because now we're up about, 40, we're about 40 some odd dollars an ounce from where we were just a few weeks ago. And if you've chosen to do it elsewhere, well, that's okay. I'd prefer you to support the work we do here at RBN, and that's what I do. That's the reason I'm here with you twice a week. My name is Jeffrey Bennett. The name of my firm is Kettle Moraine Precious Metals. And amongst the things we do is we come here twice a week, and our endeavors are here to help support the efforts of RBN. And I want to tell you something. It's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. What, a few moments ago, I commented to you about some of the potential upcoming issues that certain people see, one of them being $80 a gallon for, $80 a barrel for, what did he say? I can't remember now. I just bounced it and closed it off. Here, hang on. That's what happens when you're not feeling well. You have these little momentary lapses, so I do apologize. Come on, roll that. $80 oil. Now, what is $80 oil going to translate to at the pump? Because when it was down in the 40-some dollar area, we were in the low $2, $2.25, $2.30, $2.35 range. What's it going to do if oil goes from $50 a barrel to $80? Are we going to be back in that $4 a gallon range? If we're $4 a gallon for gasoline, what's it going to cost for food? Because it takes fuel to get the food to market. Do you see what's coming? And there may be much more. What is being foreseen for this coming year? This year that we are now in, as we conclude the second day, is possibly the greatest bubble ever to hit this nation. I think there's more to it than all of that. I will tell you that I could spend 2 hours today, 2 hours tomorrow, and 2 hours on Thursday, and cover this to the point that it would make you sick. Now, that's not what my intent is, of course, but it's to wake you up, not to lull you to sleep. And for some of you, it's back in the East Coast, and maybe it's nighty-night time. During the 40 months after Alan Greenspan's infamous irrational exuberance speech in December of 96, the NASDAQ 100 index rose from 830 up to 4585, a 450% gain. Now, listen to this, but the perma bulls said not to worry. This time is different. It's a new age of technology miracles that will change the laws of finance forever. Except that it wasn't. The market cracked in April of 2000, did not stop plunging until the NASDAQ 100 index hit 815 in October of 2002. All during that time period, by the way, you could have been buying gold for about $250 an ounce. During those heart-stopping 30 months of a complete freefall, all the gains of the tech boom were wiped out in an 84% collapse of the index. And overall, the market value of household equities sank from 10 trillion to $4.8 trillion. A wipeout from which millions of baby boom households have never recovered. And likewise, the second Greenspan housing and credit boom generated a similar round trip of bubble inflation and collapse. So during the 57 months after the October 2002 bottom, the Russell 2000 climbed the proverbial wall of worry, rising from 340 to 850, 2.5 times. But this time was also held to be different because purportedly the art of central banking had been perfected in what helicopter Ben Bernanke was pleased to call the Great Moderation. Oh, God, what a twit. Of course, taking that cue, Wall Street dubbed it the Goldilocks economy, meaning that a macroeconomic environment so stable, productive, and balanced that it would never again be vulnerable to a recessionary contraction, and that the resulting plunge in corporate profits and stock prices. Wrong again, dirt breath. During the 20 months, from the July 07 peak to the March 09 bottom, the Russell 2000 gave it all back. And I mean every bit of it. Because the index bottomed 60% lower at 340. Exactly where it began. And this time, the value of household equities plunged by $6 trillion. And even more baby boomers were carried out of the casino on their shields, never to return. Now has come the greatest central bank-fueled bubble in history, my friends. 9 years of radical monetary experimentation under ZERP and QE, the value of equities owned by U.S. households exploded even higher, this time by $12.5 trillion. And yet, this eruption, like the prior two, was not a reflection of Main Street growth and prosperity, but Wall Street speculation fostered by massive central bank liquidity and price keeping operations at cheap interest. But nevertheless, this time it's actually very different. This time the central banks are out of dry powder and belatedly recognize that they have stranded themselves on or near the zero bound, where they're saddled with massively bloated balance sheet. In other words, the central banks, including the Federal Reserve, have backed themselves into a corner. And so, an epical pivot has begun, led by the Fed's commitment to shrink its balance sheet at a $600 billion annual rate beginning in 10 more months. This pivot to QT, or quantitative tightening, is something new under the sun. It was necessitated by the radical money printing spree of the past three decades. And what this momentous pivot truly means is ill understood in the day trading and the robo-machine-driven casinos at today's nosebleed valuations. And yet what's coming down the pike is nothing less than a drastic, permanent, downward reset of financial asset prices that will rattle the rafters in the casino. Permanent downward reset. And this time is also very different because there will be no instant financial market reflation by the central banks. And that means, in turn, there will be no fourth great bubble either. And we're going to attempt between tonight and Thursday night to share with you the reasons for that. Now, in the first instance, the market is not merely complacent. It is insouciant, indulging in eye-wide-shut orgy of recklessness that truly has no parallel, not even the mania of 1927 to 1929. And that's implicit in Wall Street's dismissal during 2017 of two fundamental policy messages that emerged from Washington official dumb. And these signals strike at the very heart of the current stock market media. The scream out rising yields ahead to a casino that is priced in ultra low interest rates as far as the eye can see. To wit, the Fed is now on autopilot, set to drain cash from the canyons of Wall Street at a $600 billion annual rate by the fourth quarter. And yet at the same time, the political goulash known as Trumpian government has thrown fiscal caution entirely to the winds and has essentially now enacted the most asinine fiscal borrowing spree known to history. But the bankers are right there. They're hanging it all out for all those to grab. You've got to put in an appearance, folks. You got to make it look like it's good. Ground zero of the impending bond market conflagration is fiscal year 2019, which incepts exactly 270-some-odd days from now during the same window of time. Fourth quarter. Well, fourth quarter was over 2 days ago, but you get my drift. The Fed is then going to hit full stride on its bond dump-a-thon. Dump-a-thon? Who's going to be buying it? What is a bond? A bond is, in effect, an instrument that they are borrowing money against. Except who's loaning the money? The Chinese. Japanese used to do it, but Japanese got smart. Oh, no, the Chinese are the big loaners. But the moment's going to come where the Chinese say, no, we don't want this stuff no more. We no buy. We only sell. On top of the CBO's most recent but now obsolete fiscal year 2019 deficit projection of $700 billion, the Trumpian GOP is adding $200 billion for defense, disasters, border control, Obamacare insurance bailouts, and other domestic boodle. But on top of that, now comes its vaunted front-loaded tax cut, which will rip $280 billion out of Uncle Sam's revenue collections in the same year. Oh, but wait, that's about the same $280 billion that we're no longer going to pay the UN. Well, border control is important. If they'd have paid more attention to border control 20, 30 years ago, we wouldn't be forking out the ungodly sums of money we are to support illegal invaders. Well, when we come back, we're going to throw in how much more money we're throwing out the window. Can I go catch some during the break? We'll be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Yeah, come to me. Jeff Bennett here. Second half of tonight's Protecting Your Wealth. I am in an interesting place tonight. I'm not feeling great. My head is clogged, as I mentioned earlier. But there's something about that which I'm sharing with you is sparking something within me. Sparking something to the point that I wish, given the fact that I've missed, 3 days of broadcasting in the last couple of weeks due to one issue or another, most of it's been health-related. Last week, I was just dead on my feet. I was sleeping, 14 to 20-hour days. Still have not been able to shake this thing. I'm on antibiotics. I'm on Tylenol. I'm on God knows what else. And I still can't shake this thing. I had to lay down for an hour and a half this afternoon, and the only thing that woke me up was all three of the grandkids were here, and that's fine. I love having them here. They live here, but it's rare that all three of them are together at one time. And I realized that I could have approached John and said, John, unless you've got something cooking tonight, why don't you let me take both hours? To be honest, I could do it again tomorrow, but I'd rather not, and I could do it again on Thursday. So you might want to pass it on. If John wants to fade out on Thursday and have me take both hours, I'd seriously consider it. What I'm sharing with you is amazingly hot. I don't think people understand everything that I've shared with you this first 35 minutes, not just the market reports. And it's just, it's like pieces of a puzzle. They're all coming together and they're making more and more sense. Not because I want it to be, because I understand it. And hopefully we'll be able to help you understand it as well. Just before the break, we talked about the insane deficit projection of $700 billion. And the administration wants another $200 billion for defense. We're spread all over the damn world, sticking our fingers in everybody else's business. We can't even handle our own. We've got disasters. Well, wait a minute. What's wrong with the states? Why can't these states handle some of their disasters? Now, if it's on federal properties, etc., that's one thing. Border control? We wouldn't have this problem if we'd have taken care of business back in the Kennedy-Reagan era. I'm not talking about JFK. I'm talking about that wuss Teddy. Obamacare insurance bailouts. You know what? They bought into it. They supported it. Now the hell with them. Let them fail. I really don't care. But what other nonsense have we got? We got a front-loaded tax cut, which is going to rip $280 billion out of Uncle Sam's revenue collections in the same year. That's the big tax break we got last week, right? Now you got another $100 billion for interest on the higher debt, off-budget borrowing. That's another $80 billion for student loans. A good portion of it will never get paid back. What you get is Uncle Sam fixing to sell $1.28 trillion of debt. That's 6.2% of the projected GDP. At the same time, the Fed is dumping another $600 billion of existing Treasury and GSE paper. Ladies and gentlemen, they most assuredly did not repeal the laws of supply and demand. Oh, no, indeed. As we stumble toward this fiscal year or 2019 public sector debt tsunami, the household savings rate has plummeted to virtually a pre-crisis low of 2.9% of disposable personal income. And accordingly, we've got every reason to believe that consumers will use their temporary tax cut windfall to pay down their own debt, not accumulate the bills and bonds that Uncle Sam is going to be dumping on the market. Dumping may be the key word. Where else is the financing supposed to come from if the Fed and the households are out of the picture? Oh, certainly not the corporate sector. That's being induced by $262 billion of fiscal year 2019 tax cuts. Oh, yeah, that's the 21% rate plus bonus depreciation. And that's going to undertake an orgy of CapEx. But to be sure, we rather suspect that whatever investment orgy happens with this $262 billion gift from Uncle Scam, it's likely to occur via stock buybacks and M&A deals in the canyons of Wall Street, not on plant and shop floors on Main Street, as has been promised by the Trumpster. But regardless, slurping up paper from the incipient tsunami of new Treasury debt is likely to be the last place it goes. Of course, the only other category left is foreign buyers, private investors, central banks alike. But that source of demand for Uncle Scam's emissions is fixing to dry up as well. Oh, that's going to be especially true for the private European and Japanese investors. They've poured into the dollar bond markets in search of yield and to escape their own yield-free local currency alternatives. No, we look to places like China. They're coming over here buying up the entire California West Coast, and God, they're welcome to it. Sanctuary, sanctuary. Jerry Brown's done it. The whole damn state is a sanctuary state. Basically, in effect, hasn't he just kicked ICE out, kicked the Border Patrol out? Well, maybe not in words, but in their ability, he's neutered them. He's cut off their pst with a carving knife, three blind mice. You see, The Chinese have been buying up all the resorts, all the hotels, as much of that kind of property right on the coastline up and down that state as much as they possibly could. But nobody wants to talk about the Chinese. Oh, my God, we might offend those people. But you see, the fact is, this offshore rescue brigade of the past few years depended upon radical central bank easing in their home markets, which drove those investors and speculators into the dollar markets in search of yield. And crucially, it also required a yield differential in favor of dollar securities, sufficiently wide to cover the carry cost, including the inherent FX hedging expense. Now, those artificial props are falling by the wayside. The ECB will be out of the bond buying business by the fall of this year. The PPBOC is now desperately trying to drain liquidity from its own booming credit Ponzi scheme. And even the Bank of Japan is slowing down its purchase rate, maybe because its balance sheet is already approaching the absurdity of 100%. And yet in all, what was a $1.3 trillion central bank bond purchase rate earlier this year will fade to nearly zero by next year. And then it will become a large cash drain as central banks shrink their balance sheets in the context of hyper-bloated global financial markets. Stated differently, what is priced in to the world's risk asset markets is central bank footings of $22 trillion, not the $6 trillion level prior to the financial crisis, or the $17 to $18 trillion level now being targeted for the end of the QT normalization campaign. Did you get that? Prior to the financial crisis of 10 years ago, we had a $6 trillion level. Today it's at 17 to 18, and they expect it's going to reach 22 trillion. But what's worse is that on top of all this epochal central bank pivotal to QT, that's quantitative tightening, that means the interest rates are going up on the credit cards, on your adjustable rate mortgages, etc., etc., etc. Oh, go on down to buy a car. Good Lord, the manufacturers are going to have to give huge kickbacks to get you to buy a car, if you're even going to be able to qualify. Of course, on top of all this, there comes the abrupt change of the corporate tax regime, which has now been enacted into law. In other words, the switch from a worldwide income to a territorial income-based levy will throw a giant monkey wrench into the works, all of which will cause dollar funding costs in foreign exchange and swap markets to soar as the trapped cash of unrepatriated earnings of U.S. corporations are brought home. Will they bring them home? Or will they become taxable? And therefore, will they leave them overseas? Of course, on the one hand, the resulting reflow of some $2.8 trillion of offshore buckos does not exactly count as a new source of financing for the domestic U.S. Treasury market. Oh, Uncle Sam intends to take an average 13.5% level from any repatriated funds. That's $130 billion, man. That's $339 billion over the decade. Yeah, that's built into the net cost of the tax bill. And yet the untaxed portion of these allegedly trapped offshore funds were not exactly stuffed into a corporate shoebox now, were they? More often than not, these assets function as collateral for dollar borrowings in the domestic U.S. markets, with Apple being the obvious poster boy case. Yes, Apple, APPL, has $275 billion of cash assets parked abroad in Ireland and other tax havens. But even as it floated on a sea of cash, Apple has also borrowed $115 billion to fund domestic investments, mainly investments on Wall Street in the form of stock buybacks. So after tax reflows of corporate cash are... So after tax reflows of corporate cash are likely to finance the unwinding of previous tax law arbitrages like Apple's, or maybe be applied to funding current financial engineering maneuvers, including stock repurchases, M&A deals, blah, blah, blah. But in short, The mandatory one-time repatriation tax grab of $339 billion over the next decade will likely cascade in many complex directions. But the first use will almost certainly not to buy U.S. government debt at today's 2.43% yield on the 10-year benchmark issue. But what is certain is that the mandatory repatriation tax just passed by Congress will reinforce the global offshore dollar shortage that is inherent in the Fed's normalization and quantitative tightening campaign, which means hedging costs will rise, the currency-adjusted returns on foreign investor-owned U.S. Treasury paper will fall and could actually disappear entirely if the basis swap becomes increasingly negative. Example, Japanese financial institutions tend to use three-month FX forwards when they invest in hedged foreign bonds. Annualized hedge costs have recently risen to 2.33%, which means that yen-based investors in 10-year U.S. Treasuries at today's yield of 2.43% will end up with virtually no return. And what they'll get back at the end of the time period is a devalued dollar. It will buy less than it did the day they invested in those 10-year Treasuries. And so, in short, this time is truly different because the impending spectacular late-cycle collision of U.S. fiscal and monetary policies is sure to rock the $100 billion global bond market with severe cascading ripples of downward pricing adjustments. In other words, higher yields, wider spreads. And yet the entire price structure of the equity market incorporates the previous era of drastically repressed yields. In our judgment, a large share of the $15 trillion of U.S. stock buybacks and M&A deals over the past decade would have never happened, save for the ultra-low after-tax cost of debt. Another example, mega M&A deals by investment-grade companies always look accretive to earnings because they have been 85% cash debt financed at a weighted average after-tax cost of under 2%. And yet, likewise, the scramble for yield has funded a massive revival of the junk loan and bond markets, with combined outstandings now pushing $4 trillion or more than double the 2007 level. 2007? What happened then? The beginning of the real estate collapse. You see, on the margin, virtually every dollar of that $2 trillion gain went into the liquidation of corporate equities, buybacks, leverage recaps, the whole nine yards. And so, in a word, a huge chunk of the overvaluation in today's markets, my friend, reflects the cheap, debt-fueled financial engineering bid for stocks that will be literally monkey-hammered by the central bank pivot to the quantitative tightening. Oh, compounded by the fiscal insanity of the Trump debt binge. You know, it's great to talk about the things that he's accomplished. My biggest concern is the spanking the monkey mentality. That's to be nice, that's what I'm going to call it. Selling a dog and pony show on the short term is what this country has become really, really good at. I believe nothing that emanates from the orifices, and I pronounce that exactly the way I meant it, of a politician. Oh, but Trump's not a politician. Yeah, well, he's learned how to be one, hasn't he? In my estimation, yes. Oh, nice. Orrin of the Hatchet Job announced that he's going to be retiring at the end of this term. There's speculation that maybe Mittens Romney is going to run for his position. Michelle Bachmann is considering running for the Al Franken position when it comes up a year from now. None of these things have anything to do with economics. I always think about Michelle Bachmann, how they, how loving and caring they were, raising 23 foster children, each and every one of whom the government paid them large sums of money to raise and take care of. So you see, once you're on the government dole, you're always on the government dole. And it plays right into the hands of these little crybaby, snowflake, socialist bastards. All of these things I've shared with you, some of which are technically over, some of it's even over my head. But the simple basis of it is easy to understand. All of these things explain what ultimately makes this time so very different, my friends. Valuation levels have never been higher relative to income and forward prospects. Central banks have never been on the precipice of a multi-trillion dollar cash extraction and pivot to quantitative tightening. And 9 years of central bank fostered bubble inflation and phony recovery have never rendered the casino so complacent. In all, we'd say Wall Street's calling the sheep to the final slaughter. At the moment, in fact, the bleating is so loud that the gamblers are seriously debating whether the 50 times gain in Bitcoin in just 22 months is sustainable. But that's surely derangement at tulip mania scale, as we will further discover in part two of our commentary dealing with the greatest bubble ever. And guess what? You're going to have to wait until Thursday on that one. Let me share with you why this has become so interesting to me. On my other program, I spent nearly 2 hours today talking about gold. But it's not because I wanted to spend 2 hours talking about gold. But this story becomes even more intertwining to that which I have thus far shared with you this evening. Oh yeah, I look at this and say to myself, good Lord, what I've begun tonight talking about this massive bubble ties in so closely to this gold commentary. And it was quite interesting why 2018, in fact, could be the year for gold. I'm going to publish this at KettleMorainePreciousMetals.com later this evening. But I'm going to intertwine with the commentary that I've been sharing with you thus far this evening. By the time I'm done, I'm going to have these two columns so tightly interwoven and with links back and forth between the two of them. Because you see, it all begins to make more sense. All that I've been sharing with you for this past 30-some-odd minutes about this bubble just lays right on top of all the reasons for the nearly 90-minute presentation I made this morning, talking about major geopolitical issues which are going to become more and more prominent, and the weakened American currency, and the strength in currencies and trading and manufacturing between China and Russia and the various countries in the Middle East, India, down into South Africa in some respects, certainly down in certain areas down in South America, over in the Far East. You begin to look at this complete intertwining, and there's something unusual about it. America is left out of the picture. Not intentionally. It's because America, not as you and I, we the people, America, Inc., the corporatocracy that comes out of Washington, D.C., that's controlled out of Wall Street or Belgium or God knows where, has written America off. And we have leadership that's playing directly into their hands. We're going to be looking at the death of the dollar. Nobody's going to want it. Oh, the Chinese have already got so many things in the work. They're pushing the use of the yuan. Yeah, this big basket of currencies. Now, having said all of this, obviously we reached the end of our time period. Near it. I don't have any kind of a specialized precious metals offering to make with you tonight. Understand, that is what I do. Okay? You want to talk about protecting your wealth, protecting your assets. Don't sit around waiting for the government to do it for you. Because all the moves that they have made this week, this past week, the tax plan, all of it, it is a bloody joke. You're going to watch precious metals, as Ralph Cramden once said, go to the moon, Alice, to the moon. Will it be for a long time, short time? Don't know. But now's the time to acquire. Now's the time to sock it away. I'd like you to go to our website. And the easiest way to get there, go to republicbroadcasting.org. Upper right-hand portion of the website is a little silver bullet. Click on it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take you to our treasure hunt page. That deal is over. It's sold out. I've not had a chance to go in there and put a new one together. But once you get there, I want you to hit on the home button. Start reading. First of all, you'll learn how to spell kettle moraine. Not an easy one to do. Kettle's like a pot in a pan in a kettle, ladies. Moraine? What's like they talk about in the ghetto? Say, baby, they're going to be moraine tonight. No, that's, I'm teasing you. My contact information, down in the lower right-hand segment of that page. Our address, our email, one of our phone numbers. Drop me an email. It's one of the fastest ways to reach me. Yeah, going out of business. We're seeing more and more of that happen. It was another segment I did this morning talking about what's happening in a particular area in Pennsylvania. The last store standing of a major name brand is a JCPenney store. We're all closed down, people. Stay tuned with us here at RBN. There's much more to come up. I will be back later this week. We're going to pick up and continue this commentary. Make notes. Send me a list of your questions. You got any? We'll do our best to answer them. And we're going to get it on. It's 2018. It's time to kick some assets. Take care of yourselves. Good night.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.